Welcome. Welcome to Go Through the Door, Improv Chattanooga's weekly podcast about fearlessness in improv and in life. And I'm joined this week by Courtney Warner. Courtney, thank you so much for joining me. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited.
You're very, very welcome. Have you done a podcast before?
I have. I've done a couple of ones. Like they've all been comedy based, either like comedy and science. Did one and like just I've done a couple improv ones, and then mostly stand up. But
okay. We're not going to be actually doing any performance on this podcast. We tried that early on, and it was horrible. There's something about improv, and of course, the entire world is learning this now. There's something about improv in front of nobody that makes it very difficult to do. It's getting better, but it's still not where it needs to be. But given the current situation as we record this, I think it's better than the alternatives of sitting at home and just crying a lot. So why don't you tell the listeners about yourself, your improv background? You're a stand up as well. That's how we first met. You were doing one of our improv versus stand up shows. Your background and about your troupe and the show that you guys put on.
I started doing comedy. I started doing stand-up 4 years ago, and that's how I kind of got into comedy. And I love stand-up. It's my favorite thing in the world. And and I've done several shows in Chattanooga, which is how we met initially. It was me doing stand-up. I've done a couple of like Google Hangout stand-up shows. Those are also equally as sad as improv. I'm thankful for the opportunities. I'm always thankful for when people want me to do things, but it is a little weird. I actually set up a stuffed animal in the corner so I can tell my jokes to my stuffed animal.
That is an excellent idea.
Yeah, it's a teddy bear. They smile the whole time, so they're very encouraging.
Yeah, that is an excellent idea. Has anybody else thought of that? Do you know anybody else that's doing that?
I don't know. I'm. This is my first time admitting that I've actually set up stuffed animals like, around my apartment. Help me work on jokes.
Well, you know, there's a lot of. I was watching the Colbert Show. Well, Late Show with Stephen Colbert this morning from last night, and there are restaurants all over the country. In fact, all over the world, setting up mannequins.
I saw that.
And one place in Japan setting up a sex dolls.
Yeah.
To take up space. So, a teddy bear is. Yeah.
I saw, in Germany, Seth Meyers talked about how for their sports teams, they're setting up, like, people can pay to have cardboard cutouts of them and the team instead of actually going to the game, which is really funny.
That's hilarious. I had not heard that one yet. But please continue to tell us about your background and your troupe and such.
Then about 2 years into stand-up, I thought I would give improv a shot. Like, because in improv, to me, it's definitely more of a tool, like overall with writing and with stand-up. The note that I was getting a lot in stand-up was you're funny and your jokes are funny, but you look very nervous. And I was like shitting myself every time I performed. I loved it. And I think John Mulaney said this once. He's like, my favorite part of stand-up is when it's over. Just said I have just done stand-up, which I can relate. I like performing, but I was having a bit of a hard time feeling comfortable with who I was on stage. And so I thought improv would be helpful, taking classes and stuff. And it was. It's absolutely changed the game for me in how I write sketch, how I write stand-up, how I perform. Of course, improv being its own entity in my life now, too. It's really helped my personal life too, just like how I communicate with people. You know, it's really made me a lot more cognizant of things that you do all the time anyway as a person, as you know, but improv kind of heightens it for you. So it's been really helpful. And so like 2 years in, I started doing some improv classes here at the local theater here in Nashville. And
feel free to drop names. Let's give some people some shout outs.
Yeah, Third Coast Comedy Club is a local improv theater here. They also have sketch and stand-up and burlesque and all sorts of things. And that's kind of where we perform predominantly. And I formed a troupe with my level two class, improv class, and we were called Consolation Prize, and it was men and women. There's about eight of us on there.
Yeah, that's a great name.
We did the La Ronde, and that was really fun. I think it really worked for our energy and just kind of because a lot of us are pretty loud and boisterous people, so that helped. The La Ronde was really helpful. You know, for those who don't know on the podcast, the La Ronde, it's like you do two-person scenes the whole time, and I think most people use it as an exercise, but it really worked for us as like an actual form. Mm-hmm. Just for, I explain it only for people who may not know. I'm assuming most people on here know improv pretty well. So, but anyway, and then Murder, She Joked is the team that I'm predominantly most involved with. And it's a handful of women from the Consolation Prize team. We kind of formed a side team that has become, it's become pretty cool. Like, I'm really proud of the work that we do. And the forum, from my understanding, from my coach, Grant Collins, who you should definitely have on here sometime. He's a phenomenal improviser from Chicago. He's from here. He did Second City IO, the whole program. He teaches here in Nashville. He's amazing. And he coached us for the first year, pretty much, kind of helped us develop our form, which our form is an improvised, it's a true crime podcast, or mm-hmm. like a interview style podcast, kind of like Serial, a little bit My Favorite Murdery, Dirty John kind of vibe. But it's all improvised and we don't record it in all of our, we have like three different like sets within our world on the stage, and where we have the podcast host who kind of steers the ship, and that's their only role is being the podcast host, and you come up with a character for that. Then you have like the middle, which is the back line, but also where a lot of the scene work takes place for flashbacks and whatnot. And then over in the corner, we have like another microphone set up for interviews with like, like, you know, the mom of the accused, or like, you know, the sibling or whatever, or neighbor or something like that. And they can kind of influence the scenes that we end up doing within that middle portion. Mm-hmm. And so we've been doing we do our own monthly headline shows, The Loft at Third Coast when we're able to. And we've been fortunate to do a couple of festivals and to come to Improv Chattanooga and perform for you guys. And that was honestly one of the highlights of of ever, honestly. It was such a wonderful night.
It was basically a sold out show. It was, everybody loved it. I was suffering from kidney stones and was not able to attend,
but
from what I understand, it was a fantastic show, and everybody was wanting to have you back as soon as possible, which we will try to do one day.
We would love it.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. And you guys, the Murder, She Joked actually won an award in the Nashville scene last year. Is that correct?
Yeah. We won. It was through Third Coast, and it was a People's Choice Award where people voted for, it was like they had Improviser of the Year, Stand Up of the Year, Show of the Year, Sketch of the Year, et cetera. And we won Show of the Year, which was really, it was all peer based voting, which was really, really a huge honor for us.
Yeah, that's fantastic. All right. So now you said you started doing improv to sort of augment your stand up stuff. Yes. And you said that's something that's worked out for you, that it's helped.
Yeah, I think so. I think, and it's always interesting to watch someone who tries to do both and kind of seeing where they started first, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it's personality based too. Like, right. I do feel improv to me is comedy in general is magical. Improv to me is very magical in the sense that I don't fully understand it. I do it, but I'm like, my brain does not fully digest what I'm supposed to. I do the things I'm supposed to do, but it's like I watch certain people, my teammates, other people who perform, and I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. And I don't know how your brain works like this. And I wish I could understand where stand up is magical in its own way. I can watch a stand up and fully head to toe understand like the thought mm-hmm. process. Like I get, like I see them, I'm like, oh, you're my people. I get what you're doing. So it's different in different ways.
Have you, I did stand up for a long time, in the 90s, and, one of the reasons why other than having children, one of the reasons that I stopped was because I stopped laughing at everything. Yeah. I would sit in the back of the club on the nights I was there, and I would go, yeah, oh, that's funny. That's so funny. Oh, that's, he could have tweaked that. You know, I was just analyzing everything to death, and I realized that I just wasn't laughing anymore. And improv made me laugh because I couldn't, it's really hard to analyze, especially since it's all in the moment and it's hard to see what's coming next. And they're two very, I love both. I kind of miss stand up sometimes, but they're both very, very different disciplines. Why do you think now, we've talked about this on this podcast a couple times. I've interviewed a lot of people that are both stand-up performers and improvisers. Why do you think there is this seeming hostility between the two camps of improvisers and stand-ups? I've never understood it myself.
Yeah. I don't know, you know, and it's like I kind of bounce comfortably between the two. I have a lot of good friends in both mediums. I would say professionally more, I do more stand-up. I feel like that's just where more of my time is spent. Improv, I'm just in the one group that performs once a month usually. So I guess time-wise, but both, I'm heavily involved in both communities. I think it's basic misunderstanding, you know, or I think
no, that's good. Yeah.
I can only speak from my own like perspective on seeing just from what people have said, where I think stand-ups see improvisers as like almost like theater, a lot of theater kids, and where a lot of us stand-ups probably would like to have done theater, but we just, that personality is, we don't have that personality type innately, theater kid personality type, you know? And I think improv kind of fits in that world a lot easier. And I think also improv, I mean, from my understanding from classes, like improvisers are seen more as actors who can be funny, whereas comedians, that's just what I've kind of been taught, which I don't know what I really believe either way on that. And where I think stand-ups are just seen as like, they're the comedian, like that's, they're here to get the punchline and then get the out kind of thing. Sorry if I don't know if I can.
No, swear. That's okay. I'll overlay that with some tasteful music. What about now? I've met actually a few stand-ups that'll say, "Oh, I got my start in improv, and I hate you guys now. I just absolutely despise you guys." And I guess they're being funny, but it's kind of weird to hear that coming from somebody.
I think it is weird, and I think like there's a bit of an ebb and flow. Like for me, I could definitely feel there's times in my time of doing both that I was identified more with improv. Or felt more identified with stand-up as far as the communities kind of go. Maybe this is my own like kind of frustration with it, but when I started doing improv, I was seen as a stand-up who is trying improv classes. From the stand-up community, I was seen as, oh, she's doing improv, kind of you betrayed us kind of thing. Yeah. Like jokingly, but still kind of felt a little bit of both. The hostility, I don't know really in Nashville there's a ton of hostility per se between the two, at least from the people that I kind of associate with. But it's more just like not understanding each other. Like, oh, I like what they do. They're funny. I can acknowledge that that's funny, but I don't want to be a part of it, kind of on both ends.
Yeah, I think I remember what I was going to say. The comment you made about, you know, improvisers are seen as actors. How do you feel about I personally love – when I teach classes, I tell the students, you don't have to be funny. I don't want you to try and be funny. I love a serious scene or a sad scene or something that tugs at me emotionally.
Yeah.
At least as much as a funny laugh out loud scene. Have you had a lot of experience or how do you feel about, have you had a lot of experience bringing that sort of thing to life on stage? Have you ever been involved in a scene that turned like really serious and really did not go the way you thought? It didn't end up being funny.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of scenes I'm in aren't very funny.
Is it because the whole murder aspect of what you guys do?
No, this is a lot like, I think everything I do with those women, they're just so funny. Like all of them are such talented improvisers that they can make anything good. And I'm just lucky to play with them and they let me keep showing up.
It's a team sport though, right? I mean, it's a team sport. So definitely. Once you're on the team.
Yeah. You're kind of there unless you really, really mess up and then unless you genuinely murder someone, then maybe you might be kicked off. Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. Oh no, we need people. No, you yeah, no, can't. How was the person he killed old? They lived. They come back. Right. Come back.
Yeah. So, is no one else free on Tuesdays at 7 for a 3-hour practice?
Can you get out of lockup, Sam? We'll let you play. Yeah. You'd think more prisons would have improv teams.
You would think, because it's like it would be a good team building, but maybe they're worried about getting too powerful. I don't know.
That's true. Oh my God. You see the cliques in improv out in the real world, then you'd have improv cliques in prison. Now there's a show.
I like that.
There's a show. We've been looking for an idea for a long form to do over Zoom. I think that's it.
Oh my God. Prison gangs is improv cliques.
Prison improv. Prison prov.
When you're trapped by comedy.
Oh, that's good. That's very good. All right. Let's get back to the discussion. All right. So you do mostly long form, right?
Right. Have you, I love long form. I think it's fun.
Well, what's your favorite? You've already mentioned, we've already talked about your show and the La Ronde. And actually, I've had someone else on here that their whole thing is they do La Rondes. That's it. That's all they do. It's a group called Holodeck out of North Carolina. A guy I actually went to high school with. His name's Chad Ward. I screwed that up. And we went our separate ways after high school. And then 30 years later, find out we're both involved in improv. It was very strange. Nice. So what is your favorite short form that you've been exposed to?
I have to give a shout out to, I think the best improv show in Nashville. It's called Infinity, Etc. It's at Third Coast Comedy Club. And I would love to be on that team. I am not, but it's, it's like a game show style short form show. There's like a wheelie spin. There's a scoreboard. It's really, it's so well done. And it's one of the house teams at Third Coast. And a lot of my friends are on it. And it's just a wonderful, that's my favorite short form. And they just do different games. The host, his name's Bill. He'll come up with a lot of his own short form games and like kind of infuse them with like classic short form games. And it's really fun. I've done a little bit of short form just like in classes and stuff. I haven't done a lot of like short form performing wise. I think Four Corners is a fun game. I really enjoy it. I like being the host for that because it's kind of like you're editing a movie kind of.
Yes.
And I like being in it, but I also like and I like the mechanics of it too, where okay, you gotta heighten it as soon as you come back. It's just it's so it's very you have to think it through.
It's a five player game. It's a five player game. The person running the game is a character is playing as well. That's an interesting choice for you because that when we teach an intro short form class, that is the last thing that we teach. That's the last game that we teach because it's an entry level long form basically.
Yeah.
Because you're building all those scenes and you're learning how to heighten and you're learning when to do the edits and all that sort of stuff. And that's one of my favorites as well. That's a fantastic short form game.
One of my others is I've done some musical improv, which is amazing. I love it. It's probably, that was the best class I've taken like in any point in my life ever. And sing it where you do the scene, you sing a song. I think that's really, it's hard, but it's also, I guess, kind of close to Four Corners, but that's another one that I enjoy playing.
Okay. Musical improv, very hard. Nothing but respect for the folks that do that. What are your show prep tips? What do you do to get ready to go on stage, stand up or improv?
They're a little bit different for both, I think. So I'll start with improv. That's a little bit more simplified. Just stand up it's the whole mind thing. For improv, for me, it's usually warm up with my team for like 20 minutes, check in with each other. Usually I will drink either coffee or a Red Bull because at that point of the day, I try not to eat too much before a show. I used to eat like a ton before shows when I was doing stand up and I was like 22 and I was like, yeah, I can eat whatever, go on. And then I started feeling like garbage as years go on, like you did when you get older. For improv, eat kind of a lightish dinner, maybe 2 hours before the show, get to the venue, maybe drink a coffee, have some water, do our warm up. Then just kind of like, I'll like sing to myself a little bit, just kind of get myself loosened up, just get mostly just be in touch with my body. Cause I know I'm going to use that a lot more than I do in stand up. Improv can be pretty physical, as you know. So just kind of making sure everything is like, I'm just in check with everything.
Yeah.
So that's for improv, and that I think that really helps a lot. The Red Bull and the coffee is definitely a must. the older you get, definitely more important. Stand-up, it kind of varies because if I'm doing a show in town, well, I guess you have to drive anywhere you perform, but like if I'm doing a show in town, I'll get to the venue. Normally I know everybody on the show or know most people on the show, including the bartenders, all them. So I kind of go get my set list together as soon as I go in, like make sure, think about it on the drive over, kind of make it tangible, write it down. and kind of go over it a couple of times, look around the room for stand up and kind of just notice different things to comment on, just to keep in the back of my mind, or look at the audience and kind of normally watching the audience and seeing the age demographic, what they're laughing at, other people. It's really, and then like kind of sitting in the back of the room and noticing if you have the luxury of watching a few other people go before you, if you're not the host, then you can kind of see what they're into. And so that's the prep for stand up. Normally, if I'm driving to a show, it's a lot of music. Normally, it's a lot. Me listening to a lot of music driving to, Birmingham or Atlanta or Chattanooga or something.
What's your music for taking the stage? What do you like to take the stage with?
Oh man, it's varied over the years. Currently, I kind of bounce back and forth between. I have a Blink 182 song. First Date is probably kind of the one I like to go to because man, it's just. Most people in the audience, if they're going to, depending upon the venue, they're going to know that song. They're going to know Blink 182. It's fun. It's bouncy. There's not too much weight behind it, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of my go-to. Before I did I used to do Rihanna, a lot of Rihanna and Kanye West. And then I did a little bit of Taylor Swift at one point. I don't know. Just kind of anything that's fun. I don't try and put too much thought oh man, this is going to really let people know what I'm about. It's like, no, I'll let you know what I'm about. I want to get you excited to see me.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. As an improviser, what do you feel like you need to work on as an improviser?
All of it.
Well, okay. Let's back up there. What do you feel like you do well as an improviser?
I think I have, and this is something that I've gotten as a note from either coaches or teachers or other peers, is that I have a really weird brain. We all have weird brains, but just my initiations, I think, are pretty good as far as just taking whatever, the A to C thinking is not hard for me. It's like, oh, okay, you're going to say, I don't know, Lady Foot Locker, I'm going to say, Jeff Bridges. I don't know. I don't know why, or whatever.
Okay.
Well, the Hurt Locker, Jeff Bridges. Anyway. I don't know if he's in the movie, but that's.
I don't think that he was, but that's fantastic. I don't know.
I'm thinking of True Grit.
But he was in True Grit. He was in the remake of True Grit. But that's, that's fantastic. That sort of orthogonal thinking is very useful. We tell students, you got to play at the top of your intelligence. Don't dumb yourself down for the audience. And they'll come along with you, hopefully. That's fantastic. One thing I can't stand is, you get a word from the audience, banana. And then the scene starts with, we're here at the banana farm eating bananas. Why? Don't do that. There's so many different things you could do. That's good. That's a very, very valuable skill in improv. That's a very valuable skill. And you should be very pleased with that because not a lot of people have that.
It's hard to follow through, though, sometimes.
Well, and that brings us back to it's a team sport, isn't it? You let your partners help you with that follow through. So I can't believe, though, that you feel you're bad at the rest of it.
I think it's because I'm around a lot of people who are super good and it is helpful for me, but I don't know. I don't know how to get out of that mode of not feeling. It's taken me so long to finally, when I do improv, not think of it through the lens of a stand-up. It's just to think of myself as an improviser, as an actor, whatever I have to do. Excuse me. To get myself there. And then once I'm in there, I'm like, okay, now I am so exhausted by that point. I'm like, okay, brain, come on, just give me something to work with. Let me just talk to them like a normal person in a scene.
That's it. You've stumbled into the truth. And just talk to them like a normal person that just happens to be half unicorn or whatever the current situation is. That's perfect. You have nothing. You've got nothing to be ashamed of.
Oh, thank you. At least with that.
I don't know why I feel the need to absolve you, but you've got it. How's that? You've got it.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Something that we were, something that we sort of touched on earlier was, you've got different prep for improv and for stand up. And you mentioned that, I think you mentioned that you know, when you're going to do a stand-up show, there are certain expectations versus an improv show. This is something that I like to talk about on this podcast, especially with people that do both. Improv has a much harder sell than stand-up does, because it doesn't have the cultural penetration that stand-up does. So that's something that we've got to address as a community. I think, have you seen the Middle Ditch and Schwartz specials on Netflix? That's a great first step. Something like that. Oh, that's improv. Okay, great. Fantastic. But there's so much else out there. What would be your elevator pitch for improv? Just in general, not necessarily your show, but just in general, to get people to come see a show at an improv theater. And there's the problem.
Yeah. All I'm thinking is, do you want to watch a movie be created in front of your eyes with only one word?
There you go. That's not bad.
Do you want to watch pure magic in one room and then leave as soon as you leave? I mean, I've seen a lot of shit improv. Again, sorry.
No, it's all right. No. I was going to call the podcast Shitty Improv, but didn't test it.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of shitty improv, but I've also seen a lot of really incredible improv. Oh, yeah. I got a chance to see Middle Ditch and Schwartz when they were here at the Ryman in Nashville, actually, 2 years ago, and that was super, super cool. The booker at Zany's, Lucy, hooked me up with some tickets, which was super nice of her. She had kind of a hookup there, and Zany's is super good to all of us, too. More shout-outs. They're great.
There you go.
And because I was like, I don't know if I want to go. This is before I started doing improv and any of that. But then I saw them. And like looking back, it was okay improv. It was very accessible. You know, it's very average long form. If, for anyone who's in the improv scene, it was good, but it wasn't best thing, you know.
I have been yelled at online for saying that it was anything other than fantastic what is on Netflix. So.
Yeah. Right. And it was like, again, like anyone who does it, even a medial amount, it's like, it was fine. It was digestible for the common audience, which improv sometimes is not very digestible, especially if it's filmed. I think there's something lost there in that medium. And I think they did a good job introducing people to it.
Yeah. So, no, that's a great elevator pitch. Magic before your eyes that disappears. It's like cotton candy theater. I kind of like that. I should write that down.
I like that. No, you need to write that down. That's good.
Cotton candy theater. Although that doesn't sound very filling. Cotton candy theater that's actually filling.
Nutritional.
We'll get there someday, I'm sure. But yeah, that's a huge step forward for our type of entertainment, I think. And they should be commended for that. But I don't agree with the roving bands of improvisers that are out there on Facebook that say you can't talk bad about this show because it's amazing.
It was fine. It's what they did is phenomenal. The fact that they actually accomplished that and did these shows on tour, I think is incredible. And it's so interesting that more people don't do that because so many comedic actors on SNL, obviously everyone on Silicon Valley, they're all Steve Carell, Stephen Colbert, they're all improvisers. So it's good. They don't ever want to do it again. Maybe that was their backdoor into acting. But I would think they would be more inclined to maybe like do more of that kind of stuff. Because I mean, I would pay big money to watch Stephen Colbert, Steve Carell do improv.
They could if they wanted to raise money for charity, they could do a private improv show just for improvisers. And hell, I'd pay $25 for a ticket to see a 30-minute Zoom show with them. That'd be awesome. That'd be fantastic.
That's awesome.
All right, let's see here. What is your favorite? What's your favorite on stage experience ever in improv?
Oh man, in improv. That's a hard. I feel like I kind of black out when I do improv. I don't always remember a lot of what I do. I mean, it's just like you're in the zone, kind of. And I feel like when I am more honed in on what I'm doing is when I'm not doing a good job, because I'm aware that I'm not doing a good job.
That's a very good point.
Versus being lost in the moment. Trying to think that. I don't know if I have a favorite improv moment. I love doing a good Australian accent. That's my Bat and Donald Duck are in my back pocket whenever I need them.
Very nice. I tell you what, will you answer the next question as Donald Duck?
No.
Okay, well, I tried. I tried, Internet.
I'm going to know you. I'm sorry, this is a yes and podcast.
That's what we call a hard denial.
Yes, hard denial. Yeah, it's weird because a lot of people on my team did not like this particular show that we did, but I really liked what I did. Uh-huh. And it was just, it was set in a trailer park, and some people... And I was a new person. I was new to town, and I was Australian, and I was trying to understand what an American trailer park was as opposed to an Australian trailer park.
And what would that difference be?
The American one was a lot cooler. They had, like, coolers of beer everywhere they gave to their 5-year-old kids.
That sounds about right. That sounds about right.
Hurtful stereotypes all around, but
you know, I think you're punching up there if you're punching at Australians.
That's true.
I think that's punching up. I don't know. They have a queen, so
they do, and they have kangaroos bugs and stuff. So I don't know. I don't want to fight with them, but I do. They're all beautiful. Every single one of them come out of that country. They're gorgeous.
Yeah.
I remember there was a family coming up to me and they were like tan and tall and blonde, like 8 of them came up and I was like, I bet you they're Australian. And as soon as I started talking, they were. And I was like, I don't like to stereotype. I don't generally do that, but in a positive light, not the word. Yeah. Gorgeous. All of them.
All right. Well, yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Nicole Kidman. She's Australian, I think.
Margot Robbie.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Keith Urban.
Okay. And isn't he married to Nicole Kidman now?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. They're keeping it down south.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move on before I get in trouble with my wife at a minimum. let's see here. All right. So the name of this podcast is Go Through the Door. And what we try to focus on here is moments in improv where you're fearless and how that, you know, you can use that in your life as well. What is a moment for you where you felt like you were fearless on stage in an improv show, where you were confronted with a choice that in real life you never would have made, but you realize that if you make that choice that the show is going to benefit for it, it's going to be better? What's your go through the door moment there?
This was this is actually the last time I did improv that anyone I think performed ever was, Murder She Joked got accepted to the Savannah Comedy Festival, Improv Festival, in February. And we went, and admittedly it was not our best show. We aren't 100% used to the shorter time slot. Usually we do 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. Then we only had 25 minutes. And so we had a little bit of a hard time with that, but there were a couple of choices I made that, before I get to that, I will say that I have a hard time. I think a lot of us do, where you hear something that someone will say on stage and you're like, oh my God, I got to jump up. But then you wait like a half a second too long and it moves on. And then you don't know where that could have gone. And I do that all the time. Like, I think most of my time on stage is me sitting there thinking, why didn't you get up? Why didn't you do that? And then missing half of the show that I should be participating in. while I'm being mad about the choice I didn't make 20 minutes into the show. But with that one, there were a couple of choices I made that I was really happy with, that I think there was good payoff, that I wasn't going for the laugh. I would just hear one or two things and I'm like, okay, this, you know what? We don't have a lot of time. This is a city we don't know. These people aren't our friends. I mean, they're not our enemies. Like, they weren't like our normal friends. And so there were a couple of choices I made with that. In that show that I was, again, another show that not a lot of my teammates liked, but I was happy with the things that I did. Maybe that's very telling for how shows are, how my favorite shows go. But there was, more specifically, there were sometimes like as a kind of a gag, like one of our tools we have in our tool belt for Murder, She Joked is that for the podcast, we can have like a podcast intern, kind of very similar to NPR or something. We'll call on someone from the back line to be intern, and then they'll have to come on and either get water or just do whatever. And I decided I was going to be the intern because I hadn't gotten on stage yet. I was still on the back line. I made the choice that my intern would be a single mother who brings her 13-year-old daughter to her non-paying internship.
I like that.
And then I had to give my daughter during that on that stage emergency dental surgery.
All right.
So that was I had a lot of fun with that. Again, weird, but it paid off. It worked into the narrative enough that it wasn't like too out there, thankfully.
Yeah. That's very cool. You mentioned earlier that you found that improv has helped you in life as well.
Yeah.
Could you elaborate on that just a little bit?
Yeah. I think a lot of people who do comedy in general, but stand-ups, I think a lot of them are kind of awkward, maybe come off as we have a little bit of a chip on our shoulders sometimes. Some of us do, myself included. You know, I get angry about things all the time that I shouldn't be angry about, that I have no business. None of my business half of the time.
If there was no anger, there would be no comedy.
This is true. That should be the premise of Inside Out too. Pixar needs to get on that.
That's true. How has it changed the way you deal with life, I guess, would be a more specific question.
And it's just really me saying yes thing. Just like much like that Jim Carrey movie, Yes Man. Like, you know, just being like, what if I just actually said yes and was enthusiastic about things and wasn't sarcastic and it wasn't dripping in like irony or whatever? Because a lot of things I do, I think I can come off and I am kind of like, I'm going to act not interested because I don't want to risk any, this is like person to person, like not necessarily in comedy, but like with people where I kind of come off a little bit standoffish sometimes, is I just don't want to be bothered engaging sometimes. Whereas with improv, I'm not saying I'm 100% like over that, but it has opened me up a little bit, opened my brain up a little bit more to just being more engaged, being a better listener. Yeah. Being more empathetic and just kind of picking up on people's cues too, social cues a little bit more. Mm-hmm. That I think, some people who do improv are just absolutely tone deaf to anything, but just in life in general. Yeah. But I think anybody who takes it kind of seriously or takes classes or just watching it to heart. And when you do more of it, you do become more in tune with people because you have to be like, that's the whole premise of it pretty much, just one-on-one or in a group. And communicating. So just being a better communicator.
Yeah. Well, all right. That's a great place to end, I think. I really don't have any other questions for you, except will you please tell us the names of your Murder, She Joked teammates?
I would love to. Oh my God. They're amazing. Okay. So we have Libby Gentz and we have Dana Danielli, Rachel Wilson, Katie Hennen, and then honorary alumni, Christina Reichert. She moved. So Rachel is the newest member. And hopefully when we come back, Rachel will be with us. She will be with us. Hopefully when we come back to see you. That was not me saying we're going to kick her out.
No. You heard it here first. You heard it here first, Rachel. You're out.
Rachel, I love you.
But you're out.
And if you want to talk to any of them, I actually have a whole list of people that I think would be really good for this podcast.
Oh, I would love to. I would love to talk to them.
Well, I'll message you those. You can cut this part out too. But.
No. This is genuine. This is what brings out the tears and the money. This is it.
I'll name drop them right now. So all the girls on Murder, She Joked, you should definitely hit up Steve Aaron. He is a fantastic sketch writer and improviser here in Nashville. He's amazing. My friend Caroline Moore, she is currently at IO, and she was here in Nashville. She's my best friend, and she's been taking classes at IO in Second City. And before they closed, she was performing there fairly regularly. So she's
very
a good person. She's a screenwriter. She's did screenwriting at DePaul University, so she also is involved in that world. She's awesome. And trying to think who else. There's a lot of people, but those are some of my main faves that you should definitely talk to. Ed Garcia, if you've never met him, he's also a delight to talk to.
Okay. I will hold you to that. I will look for that list of names. How are things going? I can't believe I didn't think to ask about this. How are things going there with the pandemic and the lockdown? Are any of the local clubs looking to open up anytime soon that you're aware of?
I saw Zany's, and stand-up is a lot different than improv, where it's just one person. So Zany's, I know, is looking to open up for special, very specific shows where they're only, I think, at 20% capacity. Everyone coming in has a mask. Only parties that come together are seated together kind of thing. So And I think, I don't remember who I saw. I get the emails. I don't remember who I saw was coming to town or who is in town to do a show, do these shows over the weekend. But I think that's coming up this weekend or next weekend. As far as improv goes, I know people are doing a lot of Zoom improv and like, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of stuff like we had talked about, but I've not heard or seen anything about any improv live improv shows happening.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think it's going to be a lot longer before we have live improv back, simply because of the nature of the beast and how you have to have people from
right.
that are normally scattered and have all their different, you know, families and things that they have to interact with. And then if you bring them together, that's just a bad stew at this point. So,
high risk.
Yeah, very high risk. So, well, now I've ended on a downer. Well done. Well done, May. Well done, May. But, you know, so I tell you what, we're talking about your group doing us hosting a Zoom show for Murder, She Joked. Hopefully we can do that in the near future. Is there any place else that people can find you? Do you have like social media and stuff that they can look you up in the meantime?
I do. I've been doing on my Instagram. It's secretlybritish13. I made it when I was 16 and I haven't bothered to change it. I used to watch the BBC all the time. That's why that is what the way, and I'll. It's all
okay. Purposeful. You're giving out way too much password info here.
Oh God, but I am. Okay.
I'm going to bleep that out. And I'm also going to bleep out the name of your employer.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, please.
Which
oh,
you my dropped God. Earlier. You dropped earlier.
Oh my so God. Please do. I totally that's all right. forgot.
I'm paying attention.
Thank you. I'm not supposed to mention their name in anything that I do publicly.
Courtney, we saw your act and we'd prefer you not be associated with it.
They did. The one time they're just like, hey, they saw me perform at a local venue here doing stand up and they're like, hey, it's great that you talk about your job, but hey, how about you leave our name out?
Oh, that's horrible.
It was more just like as a corporate wide liability thing. It's not like they were embarrassed. That's what they said. They were embarrassed. Well,
I will remove it. I will definitely remove it.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
I need this job. but on Instagram, that's my main one. Facebook, I kind of do stuff on there, but not. I mostly just repost stuff. But Instagram, I've been doing live book reviews where I'll do Instagram live. And the books that I'm reading during quarantine, where I will post what books I'm reading. And if anyone wants to chime in as a guest, they can. We do drinking games of any kind of drinks. Alcohol, chocolate syrup, whatever you want. Whenever I say a certain word, which usually is pretentious, because there's a lot of pretense in books when you read. And I mostly just kind of shot myself in the foot with that one. But I've started doing that. It's pretty fun. So hopefully there'll be more. So if people want to follow me on Instagram, you can tune into those. And if you read any of the weird books that I read, you're welcome to chime in.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, Courtney, thank you so much for joining me here on the podcast. And I hope we can work together again soon. I would dearly love to see you guys come back down and perform again. I hope you stay safe.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on here, Stephen. This was so much fun.
You're very welcome.
Work together again soon in improv and in stand up and all of it. I love you guys. I love you. I love Improv Chattanooga. You guys do, and cannot wait to come back and see you in person.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.